But I know PK and I have been working diligently at our current home and just doing things, and I've been outside. I've come in, and it looks like somebody just took a bucket of water and threw it on me. Like, so glad to get into it. Don't you thank God for air conditioning? Hallelujah. Anyways, so good, just great to be here. Excited about what God is doing, and let's say hi to our online crowd. My daughter Maddie works back in Kidstown, and I love to brag on her. I love to talk about her too, so that's fun. But she sends me jokes every once in a while. She said the guy found a lion in his closet, and he asked him what he's doing there, and the lion said, "Narnia business." She said she was going to tell me a joke about a roof, but it was over my head. She said, "I can tell when somebody's lying. I can also tell when they're standing." And the last one you'll get from me today is, if at first you don't succeed, skydiving's not for you. Oh, she keeps me laughing through the week. But I appreciate Maddie so much. I'm excited, and I'll talk a little bit about it in the message. This is week four of Walk It Out. I hope you're learning some things and taking notes and enjoying what's happening. And they'll, it should be coming up on our website. If they're not on the website or anything, we'll make sure that that gets caught to do that. But it's amazing what you go through, and you're like, oh. Have you ever done something and you said to yourself, I don't want to go through this again, or at least this way? So we've been talking about winning, on the road to winning. I want to win. I mean, I'm competitive. I get that. And I know it's not, winning isn't everything. It's how you play the game. I get it. But if I'm going to play, I might as well win. You know what I mean? I mean, if you don't know what I mean, you're probably not that competitive, and it's probably not a big deal to you. But those that are competitive are going, preach it. I mean, we, you know, in the beginning of the church, and we'd have the different picnics and different things we've all done, and I can't tell you how many cell phones I broke because we'd play volleyball, and I would dive, and Kim would be like, why do you dive? I don't know. It just kind of happens. Then take your cell phone out of your pocket. Then you'll tell me, why don't you keep your cell phone on you? Skydiving. Yeah. But let me just talk about, we're talking in week four, we're talking about winning. So I want to welcome all of you that are new, and we're just excited that you're with us. I've been praying for you, I've been believing for you. We are going places, and there is a lot of things that are happening that you don't know about. And so as I go through this a little bit, you'll know that some things are coming, and some things are, you know, some things for you to get excited about, I guess. But you have to be able to see yourself winning before you can experience winning. You talk to major people that have won. I mean, if you talk to just people that have won gold medals or whatever, they saw themselves winning long before that ever happened. They asked Miss America one time, I don't know which one, but they said, could you ever imagine yourself walking down this runway? She said, I've done it 1,000 times. Because she could already see herself winning. You must be able to see so that you can get to where God wants you to be able to be. So, and I'm not just talking about with your eyes, and we're going to explain that. God has given you the ability to see things. Walk out the vision he has given you. But I don't have a vision. You do, and we'll help you. But I mean, I'm not God, but I can help you at least make the connection, and he can. But every one of you have a purpose, have a vision, have a gift. Yeah. Most people are this way. If we can't see it, if we can't notice it in the five sense realm, if we can't see it, we can't hear it, we can't taste it, we can't touch it, we can't feel it, any of that, then it isn't there. If mammon hasn't already showed up, mammon is just like the earth curse system, the spirit of the world. If I can't see it, then it's just not real. Most will listen to whatever the physical says, the carnal realm. Carnal isn't necessary. When we hear carnal, we always think evil or sin. Carnal is just your five senses. That's what that is. So if you can't, can't dissolve what it is or figure it out in your five senses, you automatically think, okay, it's not real. We're used to serving whatever screams the loudest. All the moms can probably say amen. I want juice! I'd come home from work, from the office, and she'd be like, talk to me. How many know that women usually say more than men? It's pretty common. I've been at the office. I've kind of spoken most all my words. Come home. How was your day? Good. How was yours? Oh, well, and then, you know, she, well, your son and your other son and Mallory's halo lit up the hallway and, you know, no, she wouldn't say that. I mean, you know, the boys would, but, and, or it used to be, Maddie! Anyways, you know, but she wanted just, please talk to me. Somebody besides, I want more juice. Mommy, he's breathing my air. Rah, rah, rah. Just communication. We set all of our stuff on kind of what our physical need. I just need to interact. And I get it. We all need fellowship. I get it. But what about God? Do you know you were created so he could fellowship with you? We need the Word of God. If we just won't listen to the Word, then we have limited what God can do in your life. If you're like, I don't want anything to do with the Bible, you have already put the slam on what you're going to be able to accomplish. Remember our base scripture as we started this series. Rise, take your journey, cross over the river Arnon. Look, I have given into your hand Sihon, the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to possess it. Engage him in battle. I put myself a little note. Your Bible may say, behold, where it says look. You have to be able to behold or look to see yourself winning before you see it with these baby blues, greens, browns, whatever you have. You got to be able to see it before you see it. There was a lady that was pronounced blind. She had glasses as thick as Coke bottles. We've all probably known somebody in high school or through our life that just really had big glasses. The evangelist prayed for her and told her to take off her glasses. And he asked her, can you see? She started to open her eyes. He said, shut your eyes. So she shut them, wondering, what do you want me to do? So he said the second time, can you see now? She started to open her eyes. He said, shut your eyes. She is wondering, what is going on? Finally, the third time, he says, now can you see? She started to open her eyes. And he goes, I'm not telling you to open your eyes. You got to see yourself seeing in your heart before you see it with your physical eyes. Can you see yourself seeing? She understood what he was saying finally, so she kept her eyes shut. She prayed in tongues for a while, and finally he says, I'm going to ask you again. She said, I can see myself seeing. He says, now open your eyes. And she opened them, and she could see. Her eyes were healed. And that's what we struggle with. Many of us, it's not that you're not a believer, it's not that you don't have Jesus, but we struggle with our faith because we have to be able to see everything. We have to be able to have one of our senses be able to tell us, this is happening. If you're not healed by your own senses to know you're healed, you'll say to yourself, I'm not healed. If you can't see it in the five-sense realm, as far as you're concerned, nothing happened. Can I just, I know it's quiet, but I'm trying to teach you something because I'm learning as well. So just so you know, it is not dependent on your feelings or symptoms. Did you know that? It hinges on your resting in the belief in God's government and kingdom and in the finished work that Jesus did on the cross. Because if you are resting in what he did by his stripes, 1 Peter 2:24, you were healed. If you don't see it or sense it in your five senses and you say, I'm not healed, then you're saying whatever he did on the cross isn't enough for you. You see, this comes down to a legal issue. It's God's kingdom. It's, do you really believe what the word says? And again, I got Band-Aids on my own toes, so Can't say I'm doing this perfect. I'm just saying I'm getting a hold of everything that God is trying to give me. And my job is to equip you. That's my job. It's not always easy, because sometimes I feel like I'm the poster child for what he's telling me. You need to teach people about this. You really need me? I don't think you need me. I'm not a good candidate for this. You're the perfect candidate for this. You see, most of us miss out on the benefits of the kingdom because we're not fully persuaded. We're still going to heaven, and we see glimpses or smidges or whatever of God's healing power or whatever it is we're believing for, or prosperity or whatever. We see it, but we only see it here and now. We don't really know how that happened. Some of us are part-time believers. We believe God when everything's right. When everything's wrong, we struggle. Or we believe God when everything's wrong, and once it's right, we just put him on the wayside. Kind of flip-flops either way. I used to say this all the time. Part-time Christians don't get full-time benefits. Because we fully don't believe the Word of God. And there can be kind of full-time Christians, but if we don't believe the Word of God, we're not going to get everything that God has for us because we're not taking him at his word. So when the word says, James 4:7, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee, if you don't see anything happening, we start making up something. Well, all demons don't have to flee. This one just doesn't have to go. That's not true. That's not what the word says. The fault is never God. The separation there is me or you. It is what we believe. God is a spirit, John 4:24. He is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. And I know there's some things at times involved. I mean, Jesus spoke to the fig tree, and within a day, they came back, and they said, hey, that tree you spoke to is dead. It died as soon as he spoke it. But for it to register on the leaves, it took it a day. You got to understand, it happens in the spiritual before it manifests in the physical. Spiritual is always first. Well, Brett, I don't have a fig tree story. I got a couple stories for you. They're kind of nasty, but I'll tell them to you, okay? I see you're excited. Well, I'll just condense them really quick, okay? I helped somebody move in the church. And they dropped a couch on my toe. Some of you all were there when that happened.
It was painful.
I mean, as soon as it hit my toe, I was like, that's not good. And I said, what'd you let go for? And he goes, oh, I just want to take a break. You should have told me. Anyways, I took off my shoe. My sock was full of blood. I'm like, that's not good. From that day on, the toenail was nasty. Nothing would grow. I mean, it just wouldn't grow. It looked nasty. And I would, you know, in the summertime, I mean, it healed, quit bleeding and stuff, but it just never looked right. So I'd wear flip-flops. We'd go out somewhere, and PK would be, why don't you wear your shoes? Those shoes look good on you. You just don't want to see my nasty toe. And, you know, she'd be like, okay. So anyway, this is my point, this whole thing, and this is God teaching me, so I'm just trying to show you practical things. I'm not saying it's just how he did it. So he told me to start speaking to the toenail. I mean, it had been like that for years. I don't even know how many. And I never thought, I went to the doctor. And there's nothing wrong with doctors. God uses doctors, so don't give me hate mail. Okay? I went to the doctor, and this is what the doctor says. Yeah, that's just because you're getting older. You're going to, that's what happens. I can give you this shot, but I have to warn you, give you this shot. It might help your toenail grow, but you could lose your sense of taste. I said, what? You could lose your sense of taste. Don't think I'm going to swap that from a toenail. I mean, it took me a while to build this body up. I'm not going to lose it for my... No. So I went back to Kim. I'm like, and so I just thought, Now listen to my, this is my mindset. This is a lost cause. It's just the way my toenail is. So I'm just gonna go to heaven with this toenail, and when I get a new body, it'll be fine. And the Lord said, why don't you speak to your toenail? So I started doing that. Do you know the next day it looked the same? And for a while it looked the same. And then it started changing. And it now I have a new toenail on. I'm not gonna take my shoe off. And some of you are like, thank you. But I even have a worse story. But anyway, I have a new toenail. How many was, you know, if you've gotten older, like skin tags? Look at you all. Look at me. Not even going to give that one voice, but. Anyways, now just remember, before I was ever a preacher, I was a competitive bodybuilder. So, you know, having my shirt off and doing all that, well, that was fine. But then, you know, I got to get myself back in shape and all that. That's a journey. We all get that. But I had, you know, I was getting skin tags. I don't like them. I don't even know why we get them. I don't know. It's like, why are there mosquitoes, God? Yeah. Mosquitoes and flies. I do not like them. But anyway, I didn't want to wear a tank top because I felt like it was just like, what is that thing on your arm there? Hi. So he said, speak to that. So I started doing the same thing. I said, thank you, God, for removing those from me. I don't know. I don't care how you do it. I don't care if they just disappear one day. I don't care if they fall off. I don't want to find them. But I don't care. Do you know? They're all just disappearing. They're just leaving. Brett, what are you telling me? I'm telling you I have to walk this out, but this principle, if it works for me, he's no respecter of persons, it'll work for you. So many times we hit a speed bump. We're so dependent on our carnal or our flesh. I just have to see it. But you see, I had to see it before I saw it. I had to see. Imagine what my toenail would look like, Brandon. I got to get off a different. I don't want to keep giving you a word picture. Our pastor has a nasty toenail that's healed, and skin tags are gone. Thank you. What about what's happening in the demonic realm? When you begin to understand your authority, you begin to rest in the finished work of Jesus, and you begin to pronounce God's word, which doesn't come back void, and you believe it. In other words, I'm resting in it. I don't have to do anything because it's already been done. It's not based on my performance. I didn't say this. I didn't do this. I didn't do this quite right enough. I said something wrong. I didn't say it the way it should have been. I didn't put the influx on God in heaven. I didn't say God. I mean, all kinds of garbage that man gives you when I have to just understand Jesus Christ paid for all of that. I just have to rest in that. It's not who you are. Come on, everybody. It's whose you are. God told Moses he has given him Sihon. Moses had to see it before it actually happened. It hadn't happened yet. Before he crossed the river, he had to see the battle had already been won. God had already said, I'm going to give you that. He had to literally believe it and walk it out. Have you ever believed something you couldn't see and have to walk it out? Kim and I have done that several times. I'm not telling you it's easy. I'm not even telling you it's fun. It is exciting. But TLC here, we're believing God for big things. And we want to accomplish that. But I want you to understand, as the pastor or pastors, I've already seen it. I've seen the new entryway. Some of you are going, new entryway? We're going to do a new entryway. Instead of the wonderful doors that are came across with Noah in the flood, we're going to replace those, and we're going to put something really nice in the front, a double door entrance, and make it nice, and some grass, and a nice walkway, and we're going to change some things, and we're going to start doing that now. We've already met with an architect, so Tom and I, we're going to have a meeting on, okay, what's all this entail, so that we can get some things up, so we can go forward. I've seen the parking lot paved. We're first going to do it around the church. That big lot out there is still okay. It doesn't look the greatest, but we're going to do around the building first. We're going to do it in phases. I've seen Kids Town redone. I'm so stoked about that. I've seen Kids Town. I have a video meeting Tuesday this week with a team that just, God, I've seen it. Multiple services here. I've seen each one filled. I've seen people standing, waiting for the doors to get open because God has been showing up because he's in each one of you. People are getting healed, set free, delivered. You might say, well, Brett, I just like, you know, you're just a motivator. You speak and you get everybody fired up. You're not hearing me today. I mean, I hope I get you fired up. But I have to see things on my inside, in my heart first. I have to see things first. It's just a matter of time before it starts happening on the outside. Some of you said, Brett, you're crazy. That's fantasy. That's why he's telling me and he's not telling you. Because he wants, Mary needs Jesus. And we need to compel people to get Jesus. People say it's not real until you can see it. I say it's real because I can see it now. Kim and I are dreamers. We would go into spec houses. This is true. We would go into, you know, or custom home builder homes, you know, they have those and you can walk in. And we'd go in there and we'd just say, can we sit here for a little while? They don't care because they're hoping that you'll buy their custom home. And we just sat there and dreamed. We didn't have a home like that. We didn't have a home anywhere near that. We'd go in there and we'd just dream what it would be like to have a home like that. Now we've lived in homes better than those. Why? Because we began to see it first and believe that God could get us there. You say, you're weird. What's new? I've been called worse. Bottom line is, I've got fruit in my life. I want you to have fruit in your life. When we get all these phases done we're planning, people will say, I remember when we talked about that. That's why we met with the architect, so that we can do renderings that are going to go on that vision board out there so you can see this is what's happening in this phase. I'll bring you videos and we'll show them to the church and we'll say, this is what the kids' space is going to look like. This is what's going to happen. I'm telling you, you'll be like, oh my word. And you know what? God's not limited. That's my old mind was like, I can't do that, God. Why don't we wait until we have 2 services and then I'll present stuff? And you know what? He's just saying, why? Because my mind would limit him. Last I knew, it only took one teenager to kill a giant. He didn't send a whole force. Folks, we can get a hold of what God is doing. We will never be the same. He is changing our lives. In the last, I don't know, year, maybe more, maybe less, I don't know. I mean, he's like just totally turned her and I upside down in stuff, in a good way. Isaiah 26:3 says, you'll keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you. The word mind there is the Hebrew word yetzer, Y-E-T-S-E-R. It's the exact same word translated, get this, I feel like I'm SpongeBob, imagination. So, you know, if you see it, you can just rest in God. If you don't let your imagination trigger your imagination, you won't see it, and you won't have perfect peace. But I have to rest in God, because this is past me. I can't do this myself. I am not that good. Don't answer. But if I will let my imagination, God, you gave me a dream. You gave me a dream, and you want this to happen, let it happen. Help me to be the one to see it and show it. You can quote scripture, my God supplies all my needs, and that's a great starting place. When you can go beyond quoting and you have the information supplied by God. God, I need this. Maybe you have a bill you need to pay, and this is what it is. And you're quoting Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. And you are fully persuaded and you believe that, and you know what the bill is. And when that is provided and you see that, you're like, whew. We've had stuff, we've had kickback on stuff that we needed. We're like, I need this amount and this amount of cents. And we overpaid an insurance thing, and they kicked it back to us one time. This is when we lived on Savannah, and it was the exact amount we needed. I mean, like, shut the front door. That doesn't just happen. Can you see yourself prosperous? Can you see yourself, if you know, God, this is what I believe you've told me to do. Can you see yourself doing that? See, very few believers take the word and meditate until it becomes real. I started listening to another minister where he would have dreams, and he would go and they taped off the floor, and he knew that this was a door, and he'd act like he opened the door and he'd walk in and shut it behind him. And you'd be like, that's weird. What's new? But you know what he's doing? He's using his imagination to go, this is going to be this room. This is going to be that. I started walking kids town, just doing stuff like that. Father, this is going to be so awesome. How many kids will get saved back here? What about the adults that will get fed the word of God that will change their life forever? Psalm 1:1-2, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is the law of the Lord, and his law he meditates day and night. You know, the word meditate in that is the exact same Hebrew word that's used in Psalm 2:1 of the New King James. It says, why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? King James, that word plot is the word imagine a vain thing. Psalm 2:1. To meditate means to imagine. You're like, I don't get it. You know how to worry? Think about what you're, when you're worrying, you're thinking about something. It's usually probably not good. So you know how to meditate. So now we need to meditate on something God gives you. Imagine something that God gives you. I love David and Goliath. Love that story. Love how David defeated Goliath when his brothers, you know, were like, what are you doing? Shouldn't you be watching the sheep? And David, he tried on armor. You remember he tried on Saul's armor. It didn't fit. All he knew was, you know, I got this sling, I've killed the bear, I've killed the lion. He goes down, the Bible says he picks up 5 stones out of the brook. And there's a whole lot I could go into, and I'm not going to go into it today, but, you know, Goliath, he shouts out, what are you sending me this, you know, this boy? What am I, a dog? He comes at me with a stick or whatever. I mean, he's expecting somebody to come out and fight him. David's got a sling and Goliath doesn't see it. But that's a whole nother story. What I'm telling you, what would that have been like? The Bible says that David ran toward Goliath. Goliath's not expecting that. This is a kid. And he runs, and the rest is history. Right between the headlights, takes Goliath's own sword, cuts off his head, shows it to everybody, and history is made. So we've heard that Bible study or Bible story since we were knee-high to a grasshopper. You and I both can picture it in our mind. We can almost see him picking stones up. I'll just bring this to you. You have a secret vacation spot or a spot you go to all the time that you love and you can't wait. You know, I grew up going to Michigan and we love going there. And so sometimes on my iPad or my phone, I'll have a picture of just a spot that just brings, it's just serene, it's just peaceful. I remember being out in a boat on Indian River, Michigan, and I was pastoring this church and just taking my fishing pole and plopping that in the water. And it was just, you know, you could hear the lake loon feel like Barney Fife. Woo, woo, that's a lake loon, Barney. And I mean, it just bloop, hit the water and I could just almost feel stress just leaving my body. You have a place like that. Maybe it's, you know, Florida. Maybe it's Myrtle Beach. I don't know. But your imagination can take you there. Maybe you had an experience there. But if you would go there, like if I would ever go to that valley where David was, I could almost imagine this could have been where he picked up those stones. I wonder if Goliath was standing right there. And I would start picturing things in my mind. You see, because the word would come alive to me, just like your imagination. If you're thinking of something, it would come alive to you. You have to see yourself winning before you experience winning. God has given us this ability. Some people say they don't use their imagination. They just deal in reality. You cannot, listen to me, you cannot live without your imagination. People say, I could say, how many windows do you have in your house? Most of you would say, I don't know, never counted them. But if I ask you to count them, you could, because you would think about where they all were. You would have to use your imagination. Then you could picture, there's the bathroom one, on the dining room, I got two windows there, You would picture all of them. That's what your imagination is. You could give me an exact number. You can't function without your imagination. So many people feel it's just fantasy. Your ability to see with your heart what you can't see with your eyes at that moment. I have a wonderful wife that sometimes I want to see something that, that's happening, and she'll pull me out of that and say, let's look at what we're believing for. And I could give you Bible stories about that. Jairus. I know it's just happened, but Jesus is still going to his house. Remember what we talked about? He's telling him, let's go, just believe. Faith will quicken your imagination so you can see yourself winning before it happens in the physical. I'm going to give you an example in the Bible. Elisha is God's representative, and I'm just going to paraphrase all this, okay? 2 Kings 6, you can read it. 2 Kings 6, 13 through 16. And at the bottom of that, it says, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Basically, this is what's happening. God is telling Elisha what is happening with the enemy. And so they're able to counter every move the enemy makes, and the enemy is upset. And so they say there's a spy, somebody's feeding information, and yada, yada, yada. And then they find out it's Elisha. And so then where's he at? They find out where he's at. So this guy sends everybody there. That's what's happening. So they come out of where they're staying, and they are now surrounded by thousands of troops. See, most people rely on their senses and not their hearts, but not the Lord. People that if I can't prove it so they can see it, then it's just fantasy. It's not real. So people would say, now the last statement I just read, Elisha says this, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Because basically Elisha's servant is saying, what are we going to do? He's freaking. And there are people that don't believe anything you say because you are a Jesus believer, a God-fearing, devil-stomping, blood-walking believer. People would say, Elijah, you lied, because they can't imagine that. Like, that's a great statement, but this isn't happening, because welcome to reality. But folks, can you see stuff that God's told you before it happens? I can see our expansions. I can see this place feel just filled with his presence and filled with his glory, filled with people. I have seen miracles in the presence of God's Spirit drawing them in here. Brett, I don't believe you. You sit back and watch. There's people that will confess that they are healed, and when you're looking at them, nothing seems different. I've prayed for people, and I prayed for one young lady, this is another church, and she had some blemishes that were on her arm and on her neck. And I prayed for them, and I prayed for before and stuff, and it would instantly go away. And I prayed, and they were still there. And so, she's kind of looking at her mom, and her mom is, she's looking at her, because she can't see on her neck. Mom said, they're still there. And I remember saying, I don't care what you see. And I didn't even understand what I'm as much as I'm teaching you now. I was just walking in the Spirit of God. It just hasn't shown up yet. Doesn't mean you didn't receive it. Remember, it took 24 hours for the fig tree. When you got saved, I knew a guy that got saved, cussed like a sailor. I mean, every other word was a four-letter colorful word. I'd say, he's like, man, I'm blankety-blank saved. I've never felt so blankety-blank good. Jesus took all my blankety-blank sin away. Like, well, there's some things he left. You know what I mean? But what I'm saying is, you know, he just got born again. He cussed like a sailor. It's not like all of a sudden. I'm not saying God can't do that, but it depends on your yielding. And later, that wasn't an issue. But boy, that time it was. I mean, I wasn't offended, but it was funny. I prayed for people and all their pain left and they're so excited, and then they say something like this: I'm so excited I'm healed, I'm going to go to the doctor to make sure. The spirit of slap just wants to come all over me. Come here, come. But see, that's what we have to prove it. The doctor has to say that so that you know, hey, my five senses are telling the truth. It's okay to have confirmation, I get it. But you have to believe in the finished work of Jesus. You have to rest in what he did. See, by the natural, Elisha and his servant, there are probably thousands. They're surrounded. And on God's side, two. And people would say, by your five senses, Elisha, you lied. But he didn't lie. You see, they're not looking where he's looking. I'm going to say that one more time. You need to listen. They're not looking where he's looking. They're looking here. He's looking here. You see, he's looking in the spiritual realm. There is a physical world created by God who is spirit. It existed in the spirit first and then formed in the natural. Spiritual is always first. Hebrews 11:3, by faith we understand the words were framed by the word of God so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. The spiritual world existed before the physical world was created. You need to understand that. And the spiritual world will exist after this world is gone, and then we'll get a new heavens and a new earth. The spiritual world is the parent force. It's more real than the physical world. Elisha says there's more with us than there is with them. And the servant probably did maybe a George Jefferson or something, said, you crazy. 2 Kings 3:17, and this way says, Elijah says, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man. Now, he's not talking about his physical eyes, because he's already seen that. They're already open. And this is what the Bible says. The Lord opened the eyes of the young man. And he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. You see, Elisha wasn't faking it until he was making it. He was already seeing. PK told the dream team today, she said, look twice. Not just what you see here, but look again. And that's what Elisha is doing. I know what you're seeing. And you might say, Brett, you don't know what I'm going through. I might not, but look at what you're going through. I get it. Now look again. What is God saying? Not what your five senses are screaming to you. What is God saying? What does his word say about your physical self? What does his word say about prosperity? What does he say about your situation? Just confessing something so when it isn't, but if you say it enough, see, that's what we think. We're almost like the cowardly lion. I do. We think if we say something long enough, if we say a scripture long enough, it's so. That's not how it works. It's great to quote it, but just saying it over and over again, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. I get that, but there's more to just hearing. You have to believe. Well, Brad, I'm not healed, but if I say enough, then I'll eventually be healed. I'm asking what you see, what you believe. I know what you're confessing, and I think that's great. I think that's part of it. It is. Faith sees. Faith rests. I don't have to battle for something I already have. I have to rest in what Jesus already did. See, in our mindset in this world, we think we're not good enough. God, you'll do it for Brett. I'm no better than you. And you're no better than me. This is about God loves you just like he loves me. There is nothing you can do to make him love you less. There is nothing you can do to make him love you more. This is about resting in what he has provided for you. Receiving it, resting in it, believing in it, and confessing what you know is true. The problem I've had is I haven't been fully persuaded. I thought I was, but I wasn't. Because I wasn't resting in the finished work of Jesus. I was resting in, I didn't do it enough. I didn't say it enough. If we're going to go by works, you might as well go to the church across the street. It's big. It's not about that. We have the same power, if we see it in our heart, that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. You know, in my mind, I see this. Because, you know, when they crucified Jesus, the devil, if he would have known what God was doing, he would have never done it. It says that in the Word, because now it's too late. So if you remember, Jesus got, how did he get all the devil got all the authority from who? He got it from Adam. Adam gave it to him in the garden. Jesus came to get it back. You know when he got it back? During the time he was in the grave. Could you imagine? I mean, just use your imagination. Could you imagine hell? Well, boss, I think we did it. He's on ice. What was that? Excuse me. I believe you have something of mine. Could you imagine Jesus walking in there, getting the keys, and then he's going to give them to you and I? You have to imagine. It's already been done. Ephesians 1, 18, 19. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. You have the power of Jesus inside of you. I don't have to ask God for something I already have. I don't have to ask him for healing. He's already provided for it. I have to receive it. It's easier to receive something, listen, than to get something I don't have, than to just receive something I already got. Let me make it even easier. It's easier if you got food in your fridge, open the fridge and get the food, than have to go to the store, purchase the food, bring it back, fix it, and put it in the fridge. Jesus already did that. You can see yourself healed when you don't feel healed, when you don't look healed. You're seeing with your heart, with your spirit. I got to be at that place where my spiritual side is even more real than my physical side. That's walking in faith. I mean, I've been speaking to my legs, speaking to my knees, speaking to my hip. People say, well, you might as well speak. I don't care. As long as I'm speaking the word and I am resting, I'm believing. How many know sometimes it's a process? Because you're being hit and you got to stay focused. Faith is seeing through the word of God. John 6, 63, it is the spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to your spirit and they are life. I see myself healed before any of my senses kick in. I see myself doing what I'm believing God wants me to do. The word is truth and life in my body and in my mind. I speak it. I see these things happen. The other day, now this is kind of silly, and I don't want you to take this wrong. This is kind of silly. Maddie was sitting out there. She's like, I got to get this done. She was working on her Jeep, and she was putting some kind of stuff that makes the black come back. Not that it was really gone, but it just looks nice. And it started raining. She's like, oh. And she goes out, and it just stops raining. She turned around and looked at me. She goes, Dad, did you tell the rain to stop? Now, listen, I understand. She's totally serious. Because it's happened. More times. I mean, and I'm like, no, this one is him just shining on you. And she just laughed and she went and finished what she had to do. Let God use your imagination. You don't need 12 confirmations. You've already got it. You got to stir yourself up, people. You got to start rising up. You got to take your journey, get your purpose. What am I supposed to do? God, I want to do what I'm supposed to do. I got to cross the river, confront the enemy, use my imagination, see myself well, see myself prosperous, see myself winning, doing the things he's called you to do, and doing them well. See it on the inside before it happens on the outside. That's tough, but it's doable. Once you conceive it from the Lord, it's just a matter of time, and you'll see it happen. See, people be, Brett, your toe looks great. Yeah, you should have seen it before. But I saw it the way it looks now. You say, you're just a dreamer. Well, don't wake me up. I like doing it this way. It's going to take faith to see the supernatural power of God in your life. You got to meditate on that. God, because so many times, sometimes I pray and I think, I need to pray it again. And people have asked me, if I pray it twice, does that mean I don't have faith? You answer that. If I prayed it once and I thought it was done, then I don't need to pray it again. If I think I wasn't in faith and I want to declare it again and I feel prompted to declare it again, I'll declare it again. Sometimes I've, said more than maybe if I felt I had it to bind or loose, I'll do it. If I don't, I don't have to. I don't have to pray for things that I know I already carry with me. Unless I feel prompted, listen, in the spirit. Okay. Because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. So I can walk this thing out. I just have to yield to the Spirit of God. God's will is that you are well and healthy. And each of us here have the ability to operate in faith. And I'm going to say this, and I'm about finished. When Elisha's servant saw all the horses and the chariots, let me ask you this question. Did they just arrive? They'd been there. They traveled with him. It's just that the servant couldn't believe it. He couldn't behold it or see it with his heart. Notice that it never says Elisha saw them. If you look at the scripture, it doesn't say Elisha saw them. And this is why he didn't have to, because he already saw them. His eyes were already opened. He knew they were there. That's what I'm trying to tell you. It didn't have to be proved to Elisha. Elisha said, open his eyes. He could already see them. What are you thinking about today? Do you finally want to get to the place where, man, I'm starting on my road to the dream. The dream he gave me. Along the way, you may pick up some people that'll walk the dream with you. No, this isn't the Wizard of Oz, and I'm not Dorothy. But if we can learn more of God, just help me to dream again. See, the enemy is good at trying to snuff out your dreams. Keep them all down. Keep them, don't even think about that. That's never going to happen. You know your past. You know what you've done. But God has plans. Could I challenge you to dare to dream? Not just with your, I get it. You can see with your five senses. I'm talking about inside. And let me caution you. Don't go around telling everybody. Get it inside you first. Because there'll be people that'll be like, I don't know. But God has plans. Get a piece of God. Let God's fruit from that. Let his spirit shine out on the inside. Now, I have to say, and I'm honored, that when my kids, when they were growing up, if they ever got hurt, they would find me. Daddy, you pray for this. Pray for this. If you pray. I mean, we prayed for that goldfish, and God brought a goldfish back to life. I'm like, you know, so my experience of resurrection is a goldfish. But, you know, I did pray for a dog. He healed the dog. You know, I mean, because why? Because it's under our dominion. It's under our jurisdiction. I have authority there. We would see God do some incredible things. It would just be amazing. You see, you have to see yourself being able to do that. I remember being on staff, and there was a tornado. It was during VBS, Vacation Bible School, and there was, I don't know, close to 200 kids at that one. And eventually, we'll do more things like that. We just gonna get the help. We're gonna push. But there was a tornado warning, and they had all of the kids. We had to go down into the basement, and all the kids down the whole hallway were lined up with their head between their knees and their hands over their head. That was the instruction. And they said, it's been sighted in your area, and you could hear the wind. And we lived in the parsonage at the time, and I had had enough. And I don't even know what I know now, except God just, I just felt inside, go out and rebuke the storm. And there were people that tried to stop me, literally, physically. And I just said, you better let go. And I remember going, I could picture myself before I went out, I could picture myself doing it. And I just was like, I'll do it, Lord. And I went out, and I remember standing out there and watching, you know, and the thing just quit. It just went away. And then the people on the radio are saying, well, we don't know, but it just all of a sudden lifted up and it went, you know, whatever. And we continued with VBS. And I remember that day. Now, I'm not saying I did that. I think I had a part in it. I'm sure I'm not the only believer saying, please, you know, storm, you go. I don't know. But I do know this. I had questions then. I'm like, did that just happen? How did that just happen? Did I do that, God? Did you? I mean, you did that, but I mean, you used me to do that? So he started me on a journey. My friends, you've just begun. We are not your ordinary church. We're going to believe God for incredible things, miracles, people set free, people healed, people saved, the glory of God filling this place. People coming from not just this county and community, but from all around. And I know every preacher can tell you that. But I'm telling you now, if we stay true to the vision, it'll happen. Because he told me this, if I do nothing, it'll stay the way it is. And that makes me sad. I know it probably doesn't make him happy. But I'm like, but God, how many ever have butts for God? When our kids grew up, I think hers was Dad. I was Dad Can I and Mom Butt. Dad Can I? Mom But. You know, I mean, I always said, but God, what, if we only had 50 more people or 100 more people, we were doing two services, it would be much easier. It'd be this, it'd be that. And he'd be just quiet. Now listen, because if we were running, say, five services and we had all the people we wanted and all the finance coming in, we would all say, well, of course we did it. I'll leave it with that. We did it. We're not doing this. God's going to do this. The good news is he's going to do it. It's going to take money. The bad news is we all have it. But we just have to go, okay, God, you tell me whatever you want me to do and I'll do it. And PK and I will lead the charge. We'll figure it out, Lord, whatever you say. But we will see his glory here. We will. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes?